Lord, lift me up, and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your faith then I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Problems. I'm sure that we all have problems. I know I do. I have problems come into my life. I've had problems in the past. Do you have any problems? Well, if you're a human being, you certainly have problems. And we've been looking at this subject biblically, a biblical perspective of problems. Sometimes we get confused and think a symptom is the problem. We think about that, but many times the problem is underlying. And we've looked at a couple of things here, a couple of symptoms: worry, fear, and doubt. And right now, I wonder, have you ever been angry? Do you ever get angry? Well, that's the symptom I want to look at right now, is anger. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26 says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Well, that verse says, "Be angry and sin not." It's pretty straightforward. Well, I'm sure we've all faced the problem of sinful anger. Actually, it's a symptom. We know what it is like to lose our temper, blow our stack, and fly off the handle at others. Has that ever happened to you? Well, sometimes we tend to boil up and burn up within with bitterness and resentment. Well, God tells the believer what to do with sinful anger. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8, "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." Well, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Put it away, the Bible says. And the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about sinful anger. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 17 says, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." Proverbs 15, verse 18, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." Well, there's many verses that it talks about anger. In Proverbs 29, 22 says, it says, "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression." Well, there's an action that takes place. James chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." There needs to be action. James tells us in James 1:19, be swift, and that means quick to hear. That's an action. Pay attention. Think before you speak or react. Be slow to speak. Do not be in a hurry to speak. Think before you speak. Proverbs 29, verse 20 says, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words?" In other words, he doesn't take time to think. "There is more hope of a fool than of him." We need to be, I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be seen as a fool. I want to be seen as someone who is not foolish, but one who takes time to think before I speak. Well, the Bible tells us that we're to be slow to wrath. Think before you act, react, or lash out. Why do as James 1:19 says? I'll tell you. Man's wrath does not produce God's righteousness, according to James chapter 1 and verse 20. "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." You're not doing God a favor by getting angry. You need to control that anger. Man is swift to anger, but God is merciful and gracious, according to Psalm 103 and verse 8. Do not blow up or boil up. Why should we do this? Well, let's look at some more things here. Sinful anger is expressed in different ways. Anger seen and not seen. Some people tend to blow up. And, you know, to blow up primarily hurts and destroys others. The person who explodes will also be hurt. Just as in firing a gun at another, there is often a powerful recoil. Many people are like a living, active volcano. They tend to erupt and explode like Mount Vesuvius or Mount St. Helens. They let it all come out, and the smoke and lava pours forth. Those who live near or around the eruption must suffer from the damaging effects of man's sinful anger and temper. We need to let God take that anger. And some people tend to boil up. We know this. And anger which is allowed to boil up primarily hurts and destroys self. Sinful anger is also manifested in a less obvious yet equally damaging way. Some keep anger within, allowing this powerful emotion to slowly burn and boil till it just erupts. As they hold on to it, bitterness and resentment slowly begin to build up. Boiling anger is just as sinful as exploding anger. Others will certainly be affected by built-up bitterness and resentment. Anger controlled? Someone says, "I just can't control my temper." Well, according to the Bible, yes, you can. You do it all the time. Consider this. Mrs. Who loses her patience and begins yelling at the children. Mr. Who is trying to read the paper. Finally, he can take it no longer. He violently explodes at both his wife and the children. Suddenly, in the middle of this eruption, the doorbell rings and it's Pastor. You fill in the blank. It's your pastor. The pastor has stopped by for a visit. Mr. and Mrs. Who go to the door and with a warm smile say, "Pastor, it's so good to see you." Do you see what they did? They immediately controlled their temper because they did not want their pastor to enter their home and see two active volcanoes. If we can control our anger in such fleshly ways, how much more can the Spirit of God control this powerful emotion for God's glory if we will but let Him? Now, a prerequisite for a man to be a pastor is this. A bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, and listen to this, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, Titus 1:7. Why? Why is this so? Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of what? Fools." Why is this? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12 through 14, "For the perfecting of the saints." This person is not to be soon angry. Why? "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." That pastor is not to be soon angry. Well, is anger always sinful? Now, we've studied worry, fear, and doubt, and have seen that these can be very healthy and helpful emotional responses on occasion, even as God intended them to be. What normally is considered a vice can become a virtue if it is used in the right way according to God's word. We turn it. The same is true with anger. The Lord has built into man the emotional capacity to be angry. And this powerful emotion was originally meant to be helpful and not harmful. Anger can be a proper and useful emotion. Yes, there is such a thing as a healthy, holy, righteous anger, sometimes called righteous indignation. Well, here, healthy, holy, righteous anger. Let's look at that just a moment. First, notice this. God is angry with the wicked every day, according to Psalm chapter 7 and verse 11. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. And we also know that the Lord Jesus is sometimes angry. Consider the following passages and remember why the Lord Jesus was angry. In John chapter 2 and verse 12 through 16, "After this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep, and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Well, 3 years after the first cleansing of the temple, in John chapter 2, verses 12 through 16 that we just read, Jesus would once again enter the temple. Matthew 21, verses 12 and 13. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Jesus' righteous indignation concerning Peter. Notice this in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Well, there's many other passages that talks about Jesus and righteous indignation. And you see, God commands the believer also to be angry. In verse 26 of Ephesians 4 says, be angry and sin not. We read that earlier. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, there's a caution here. The Lord knows that with frail men, righteous anger can easily become sinful anger. So he adds the words, and sin not, in Ephesians 4:26. See, it's easy for us to get angry at the wrong things, or to get angry at the right things for the wrong reasons. If your sinful anger has harmed someone else, don't go to bed until you have corrected the problem in God's way. And prior to the age of the electric lights, people used to go to bed when the sun went down. In other words, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't go to bed with something between you and the Lord and someone you've hurt. Now, anger can be used for God's glory and man's good. Anger was intended to be a very constructive, not destructive, motivating force in our lives. It is a powerful emotion, and this power may be used in good and helpful ways. God is glorified when we are angry in the right way and for the right reason. Blowing up, boiling up, has never solved one problem, nor has it ever helped one person. When we blow up or boil up, we are directing all our energy at others and at ourselves in a harmful way. And our problems only grow worse. How much better to redirect that energy and use that energy to attack and to solve problems? Why not harness this vast supply of energy and put it to good use? Ask yourself, am I angry at sin in my life? Am I angry at the sinful ways in which I have treated my family and loved ones? Is all my energy being used to straighten things out with the Lord and with others? We need to have things right with the Lord. Anger is not in itself evil or sinful, but in some cases a necessary duty. Do you know Him today as your Savior? Have you trusted Him? God loves you today, and He wants you to know Him as your Lord and your Savior. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Change your mind today and turn. Ask God to turn you. Ask God, because you have a changed mind, you want to go His way now. Lord, forgive me. Come into my heart. I receive you as Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.